Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass. Today is March the 17th, 2015. Welcome everyone for joining us in Atlanta, Georgia today. It's a great day, St. Patrick's Day. And with me in the studio is Mary Jo Bowser and
Lee. You forgot my
Lee
name?
Cantor. No, I was just waiting. I just wanted to see it.
If you don't include me, it doesn't hurt my feelings.
Okay. I'm really Brad Culp. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm just kidding.
I thought we weren't going to do that, Mary Jo. I've lost control, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize. I should be in control, but I'm not.
And most importantly.
Yes, our guest today is Steve Sine. Steve is with Guardian Hospice, and he is in the capacity of a hospice consultant. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Same to you. We're thrilled that you're with us. So as we begin, we want to start, as we always do, just tell us a little bit about yourself. Give our listening audience an idea of who you are.
Okay. My name's Steve Sine, and I'm with Guardian Hospice. My background, I actually am born not in Georgia, but raised in Georgia in Roswell. Grew up in Roswell since I was a year old. And
we won't hold that against you.
Don't hold that against me. Thank you.
It's a bonus points with me. That's my stomping ground.
It was a wonderful place to grow up. But anyway, grew up in Roswell, attended Roswell High School, graduated from there, went to the University of Georgia, graduated there, and have been in the medical field in some capacity for the last 22, 23 years. And that's what's brought me here.
And how did you come to find yourself in the hospice arena?
Absolutely. Good question, Sam. I would say that I wasn't really looking at the time when Guardian came calling. It was in September of 2013 when I came on board the company. Again, was not looking, but when they called, I was intrigued because I do have a personal experience with hospice with my father. You know, one of the things about hospice that you'll find and that I find every day is that when you say the H word, people run the other way. And I would say that was probably the case at that time as well with when my father was dying of COPD in November of 2013. But once I've experienced that with another company, with the care of my father and how they treated not only him but my family, which I believe hospice is to a large extent for the family itself and not just the patient. It really turned me around and changed my perception of what it is. So, and that's what my goal is every day, is to get out there and just to explain to people what it is, because I find that a lot of people have preconceived notions, and generally they're not correct. And if I can be of help in explaining that process, then that's what my goal is.
Well, with that, there's a great bridge. Tell us what hospice is not, and then what it really is.
That's a great question. Well, when somebody asks me, what is hospice? I could sit here and name all the different things that it is as far as people. Like, it's a nurse, and it's a home health aide, and it's a social worker. It's all these things. But what it really is, and the way that I answer the question, is that it's support, and it's caring, and it's relief. It enables people to become... Not only, let me give you my example. So my father was 83 years old. My mother was 80 at the time. She should not have been spending her time caring for him around the clock. She needed help and support and guidance. So when she obtained that, and what we do is provide that care as well, then it allowed her to become his wife again and allowed me and my five brothers and sisters to become his children again, and not only spend time caring for him, although we were a part of that team, obviously, and we wanted to be. But we want to enable others to become that other role that really they should be at the end of that person's life. I hope that answered your question.
I think that was great. And especially it was pertinent when you said it allowed your mother to become the wife again.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's very important.
Yeah. I can understand that. That's great. Tell us what makes Guardian, Well, let's take a step back.
Sure.
Guardian comes with two flavors.
It does.
Okay, so let's talk about that.
Good point. It does come in two flavors. We've got Guardian Home Health and Guardian Hospice. What we like to provide with our care is a continuum of care. So if you have someone who maybe doesn't require hospice at that moment in time, and they're there and they might need physical therapy or some other thing that we can provide under home health care, if at some point they do begin to decline or possibly need hospice, then we can make that bridge a little bit easier. Let me add a little bit in there, one thing that's called palliative care, which they provide on our home health, under our home health umbrella. And I like to think of that as the bridge from home health to hospice. So someone is on home health, they begin to decline, we can bring in our palliative care team under home health, which bridges us, and we begin that conversation of what is hospice and what can we do to benefit, what can we do to help you.
So you do have a home health separate from the hospice, like if they just need skilled care.
Absolutely.
They're not...
They can get nursing for whatever it is. So they go to the, so let's say a patient goes into the hospital, and for example, my mother, I bring my family into this all. My mother fell and broke her hip at an assisted living facility, and so she went into the hospital and came out and had physical therapy for that, and so they were able to spend some time on there and do that. Now she's suffering from some other illnesses that at some point maybe she might require hospice care going forward. But when that time comes, we'll cross that bridge. But yeah, we do have that. But the palliative care is an interesting piece because it allows people to get used to that idea. As I said, people tend to run from the word, and really, I just want to make sure people understand that hospice isn't what it used to be. Okay, I have an actual pamphlet that I use that's called The Myths of Hospice, and one of them is, well, the question is, well, isn't hospice only for patients with cancer? And maybe at 20 years ago that was really how it began. I mean, it was for those folks. But we've really we have a number of diagnoses that we will work with folks on and can help and help them to deal with that disease state towards the end of their life. Much further beyond cancer. So
let's go back and develop a idea and again kind of paint a picture from you speak of continuing care, and obviously I recognize the importance of that and what it is, but I'm not certain that all of our listening audience would do that or would recognize that. So let's talk about continuum of care, and then let's talk about that continuum from home health to palliative, to hospice.
Absolutely.
And develop that.
Okay. So let's take an example of a patient who was in the hospital, continuing to go to the hospital, what we'll call frequent flyers.
Mm-hmm. Readmittance.
Right.
Which dun, 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 dun.
The R word, which we want to help to try to, and we can, and try to help to avoid and keep those folks out of the hospital. But so we have someone who is continually going to the hospital for whatever reason, and they're getting home health once they're discharged from the hospital. They're receiving home health care in their home, and the home health, you know, they're doing their thing, whether it's therapy or nursing, and they're monitoring medications and they're doing all these things. But if the patient they will watch that on a weekly basis and see, how is that patient doing? Are they getting better? Or are they declining? If they begin to decline, then we can, as I said, implement the palliative care piece to home health, which allows us to get involved on our end, and they on the home health side have a palliative care team that would be implemented, and we're bringing in additional resources at that point, so they can talk to them about social work can come in at that point, and we can talk to them about what we can do moving forward, what's the best plan of care.
But for the purpose, it's a different purpose, right? It's for the purpose of comfort mainly, is that right?
That's a good point, because hospice is a philosophy, and so you're right. When we get into hospice, we go from home health, which is a curative, we're treating the patient, and we want to make sure that we actually want them to move forward and get better, and that's the goal of home health. When we move into palliative care, we're thinking more along the lines of, okay, we've done a great deal of restorative care or curative care. It doesn't seem to be doing what we hoped it would or what we could do. So let's move down to palliative care. We can get more people involved and more resources involved. And then if we need to, we can go from palliative right into hospice care. And I'll also make a point there under the hospice part. If we can get involved earlier rather than later, which is a challenge for me every day is to not convince, but to talk to folks, physicians, whoever it is that needs to hear it, and say if we can get involved earlier in their life, or at the end of their life, then we can provide the care more.
That's an interesting statement. It seems to be a contradiction, two forces working in opposite directions.
Right.
You as the hospice individual recognize and see value in getting involved earlier, but a practicing physician is there to cure, and it is that practicing physician that has to write the order for hospice. How can you facilitate that? Look, if I'm an MD and I'm going to do everything I can.
Absolutely.
Whether I really believe there's a reasonable chance or not, I'm going to do everything I can. That's what I took the oath to do.
Right.
So, you know, again, two ideas working against each other.
It's a challenge, and that's a good point. And it is a challenge that we face every day. All I can do is go in and really educate them on what we can do. Maybe they just don't, and they are there to help to cure, to get that patient better. But there comes a point in time where the patient gets tired. And they come to the realization, and it's their choice to make. And that's the other big word that I want to use here today is choice, in a lot of different ways. But in this case, you have a choice on how you want your care in what direction you want your care to move into. Obviously, we have to have an order from the physician to say that this patient would qualify for hospice, and we don't want to go around them at all in any way, shape, or form. They're the physician. And they are the ones who do that. So my goal is just to educate really everyone involved, but the physician on what we can do. Maybe they're just not aware of what we can provide. But you're right; it is a interesting conundrum that we fall under.
But isn't it true that even if somebody is placed into a hospice care, they can leave hospice care? It isn't like a death sentence. It's perfect. Something that you can move in and out of, right?
Absolutely. That, again, the choice. One of the points I wanted to make, and along those lines, is yes, if you elect to go with a hospice provider, and by the way, there's more than I could even begin to count in the Atlanta metropolitan area. But once you decide to go with a hospice particular company, if you're not happy with and I would say even before that, as you're looking into hospice, make sure you do your due diligence and really look at everything and be comfortable with who you talk to and who you're working with. But once you become a part of that service on with a company, you are able to revoke that service and move on to another if you'd certainly like to. And I would encourage them, anyone who takes on a hospice opportunity, to do that if you're not happy with the service you're getting.
Now, you mentioned that people are hesitant to have that initial conversation with you. Everybody I've talked who has had to deal with hospice, at the end of the day, they always say, I wish I would have known about them sooner. Now, that seems to be part of the irony of this and part of your challenge, right?
Right.
It's hard for people to talk about it initially, but after they've gone through it, they appreciate everything you've done and wish they had done it sooner.
Absolutely. And that was my experience personally, as I expressed with my father. But you're right. That's typically what we see is we begin the service. We provide all of that care and that support on a daily and weekly basis with all of our team members. And I'll address the team members real quickly, briefly, while we're talking about this. You've got your RN case manager who's involved in the entire overseeing of the entire patient care. You've got a hospice aide or a CNA, certified nursing assistant. And then you can make use of our social work and our chaplain, who's our spiritual care coordinator. And we have a grief counselor as well, a grief coordinator, who helps throughout that process. But going back, we find that once they've experienced it just as I did, you're very happy with it and you see the value in it. And then sometimes they become our largest advocates at that point. And they're talking to people that they know, hey, you really need to make use of this service. It's not what it used to be. It's not a scary thing.
So you mentioned this, and we understand this poll as well. There's a lot of hospices. There's a lot of home care companies
Absolutely.
Out there now. Can you tell us what differentiates Guardian?
That's a good question as well. I think there's a couple of things that I'll mention tangible things that I'll mention. One is that we have been CHAP accredited, which means that the governing body of CHAP has come in and looked at they open up all your books, they look at everything, and then so the entire company has been CHAP accredited, meaning there's nothing hidden, there's everything's been opened up, they've looked at everything, and they've given us this accreditation, which is a huge thing in our arena. So that's one thing, and that happened about a year ago, and that's ongoing and continues on as we speak. And then the other thing I believe that really sets us apart is our continuum of care. There's a lot of standalone hospice companies out there, and there's a lot of standalone home healthcare companies, but we've got the entire continuum and being one of the top five largest home health and hospice companies in the country, we've got a lot of experience. So we can provide that care from beginning until the end of life. Those are probably the main things, but if I get back to really what is hospice and what is the differentiator, it's really the people that are providing the care to that patient. And I can't speak to anybody else or to any other company or what they're doing, but I know what I go out and talk about every day and who I've got behind me as part of my team and alongside of me as my team, and I'm confident that that's the big difference is who's providing the care for those patients. So I hope that answers that question.
I'd like for you to, again, go back and let's talk about from the home health side to the hospice side. And again, you talked about continuum, but I'm not certain that listeners understand the value of that.
Okay.
And that's what I want you obviously, if it's a differentiator, why is it a differentiator and how does that work?
Okay. So you've got Guardian Home Health providing care to your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, and you're familiar with this company, and we work together constantly every day as a company of hospice to home health and home health to hospice. By the way, there are eight home health offices in the metro Atlanta area for home health and one hospice office for Georgia. So anyway, going back to what we were saying is we communicate every day back and forth between clinical folks, between our offices, all of those things. So the benefit there is when and if that patient does need to transfer from home health to a hospice situation, you as the patient are familiar with that company, okay? And you've met a lot of those folks and you're familiar and you know them. And then we are familiar with you as a company, on both sides because we've been communicating at some point between the two. And I think that's hopefully what you're getting.
Yeah, it exactly is. And we didn't get a talk off air, but I come out of managed care.
Okay.
And all managed, and I did it for 20-some years, so I've got a lot, from basically when it began to where we are today. All managed care is a mechanism to communicate.
Right.
To communicate effectively. You have all these different providers of service practitioners. And contrary to what most of the general public believe, they don't communicate. Their right. systems are not linked. Regardless of what they say, they're not linked.
Right.
My computer does not link to my general practitioner's computer does not link to my cardiologist's computer, and they sit there and type emails or whatever back and forth. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
So that's the in my mind the importance because of the two distinct providers within Guardian Home Health and Hospice. It allows for the continuation of good quality communication.
Absolutely,
and that only facilitates better care.
Right.
Yeah.
And even further than that, partnering with folks like Griswold Home Care is a huge part of what we do as well with folks with hospice. A lot of times we find that they just don't have a lot of family around, or maybe they're there with their it's only a husband and wife there in their 80s or 90s, and you guys can provide an additional service and do provide a wonderful additional service to what we can. Some people think that hospice is going to be there constantly all the time, and that's a little bit untrue. We're there quite a bit, but we're not there all the time. So what you guys provide, the service you provide, is wonderful addendum to what we do, and we try to partner with you guys to provide that care when they need an additional someone there a little more for a little more time.
And you know what I'm seeing, Steve, is that you mentioned earlier about you wish that you could get them earlier,
right.
i.e. in your home health arm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing the need more and more for home health companies to partner with companies like ours, Home Care, because they don't just need companion care and they don't just need the wound care.
Absolutely.
Sometimes they need both.
Yep.
And communication then does become a very big deal.
It does.
Between, the team players.
Yep.
So.
Well, that will always lead to the point of, okay, fine, but let's talk about dollars and cents. So tell us how hospice services are typically provided for and reimbursed for.
Absolutely. A question that I get every day, and it is the most comprehensive, hospice is the most comprehensive medical benefit that Medicare has put out. So as long as you've got Medicare Part A, and then Medicaid often covers it, but as long as you've got Medicare Part A, your hospice supplies is covered 100% by Medicare. So anything that has to do with your disease state that we have put you onto hospice for, okay, is covered. Your medical supplies, your medical equipment, your prescription drugs, anything that applies to that diagnosis that has qualified you for hospice is covered 100%.
You know, I've done this a long time, and I think that's the first time I've heard that statement. It's the most comprehensive Medicare benefit out there, and it is true.
It is, yeah.
I mean, I'd never thought of it in those terms, but I know it's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
And it's very unused, underutilized, so anyway.
So it's covered under Medicare.
Correct.
And then, as in all things that are covered under a government program, there are certain parameters. What are those parameters as they relate to hospice as far as care, the number of visits, the type of care, things of that nature?
Okay. So when someone comes on to hospice under our service, our registered nurse, that case manager individual, will begin and will put together a plan of care. And so she will then determine how often does she or he need to go out as a registered nurse to see that patient on a weekly basis. And then how often does the CNA need to go out, or hospice aide need to go out and see that patient on a weekly basis. And then the other resources can get involved as well, the social work and the bereavement and the chaplain and those things. But so she'll put a plan of care together, and I can give you a typical example, it would be generally 1 to 2 days a week for the nursing care, and that's just a typical example, and then 3 to 5 times for the CNA to go out.
Now, but what happens as an individual deteriorates and the medical issues become more acute or more pronounced?
Very good. Well, those visits as we're monitoring that situation and we're seeing that happen, our nurse changes that plan of care under the direction of the medical director and the physician for that patient. And then, so those visits may increase on both the case manager side and RN side and on the hospice aid side. But then we have something we can also talk about called critical care or crisis care, which as that time becomes imminent, when death becomes imminent and we see that, then we can be there on a more regular basis. So a more frequent, more really, really round the clock, if you will. So you've got it's going to be either an RN or a hospice aide. When we've determined that time is of the essence, then we will be there for that family.
And that you call that critical care, which is what is commonly called continuum care. Is that right?
Right. Okay. Yep. Continue. Yep. So I think that might address that issue there.
Yeah. You know, Steve, we're always interested, and it does our listening audience good, if you can pull out a story that might stir the emotions.
Absolutely. And that won't be my intention, but what I would say is the best part of my job. I don't have a single story, but the best part of what I do on a daily basis as a hospice consultant is the opportunity to meet with people, family members, and potential patients to explain what it is we can do. Hospice is an amazing and wonderful service if it's done correctly. Okay, you get one chance to do that, all right? And it needs to be done correctly. So my goal every day is to go out and just educate people on what this is as a service. And when I see in those people's eyes and the relief, and they look at me and I go into hospitals and they'll hug me. I mean, I get hugs from people that are there because they're at a point in time where they don't know what to do. It's a very stressful time. It's a very difficult time. And when you see someone come in that can provide some relief and support, then it it just does something to you. It helps you in that time, and it creates that situation. Now, what I will do is I'll go back to my situation, in particular with my father, who was a smoker for 70-plus years. And he told me that he began smoking at the age of, I believe it was 9 or 10 on a pipe. So, and this was back in the 30s, okay? So after a number of years, that catches up to you and causes, and COPD is not a fun disease to watch happen. But to see him, and then, as I said, not only for him, obviously that it was for him, for support for him, to help him through this end of his life, but for my mom, who was 80 at the time, and for my family, who is in a grief state and who needs this help, that was really the value of what I saw hospice was. So I hope that answers that question.
Yeah, I think that what you're saying is that there's value in the physical care, the medical care, the personal, but there is as much, if not more, value in the emotional aspect as it relates to the family.
That's right.
That's what I see.
That's
right. I mean, you talked about going in and you just see the relief. Well, the relief is not so much the physical strain or relief from the physical strain.
Right.
It is just, I don't have to be burdened with this. Mm-hmm. Someone, and I think that's it.
And having somebody else to care and be there.
Absolutely. And I can breathe, and they can breathe again.
You're not carrying it all by yourself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right there, what you just said, the family members can breathe again.
Exactly.
Yep.
They can just sit back and take a breath, and let's get reestablished.
Oh, well, okay, both Mary and I were trying to write that down. Absolutely. The family members can breathe again.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you would like to say to the subject that we haven't covered, or an event coming up that you and Guardian might be involved in?
No particular event specifically. What we can do on an ongoing basis, and we do provide in-service education for anyone who really would be willing to listen, in maybe an assisted living situation or in the hospitals, physicians' offices, we're there all the time, and we can in-service and educate folks on hospice and the things that pertain to that type of care. And also, we do provide grief support support groups around the city. So you might find one of those in an ALF or an assisted living facility in your area. But that's something that we also can provide going forward.
Well, that's great.
Yep.
For our listening audience, we always want you to give us what we call a golden nugget, a piece of advice. So if there's a family who is struggling about what to do with their loved one as they see an end-of-life situation approach, what piece of advice might you give them?
Right. I was thinking about this, and I would say to keep in mind, going back to that choice question, to keep in mind that there are a lot of companies out there, again, in the metro Atlanta area that do provide hospice, and there's a lot of great ones. But do your due diligence and really look into all that. Although time is of the essence at this point in time, and you're having to make a kind of a snap judgment, realize that you have a choice, and that even though someone may be saying, hey, you should use this company or you should use this company, even though that's the case, and you're not going to know one way or the other at that point, which way to go, try to step back for just a quick second and think about it, and then look into it a little more, into a little more detail, and to kind of get an idea of what really is out there.
Yeah, I think that because of the more so emotional pressure and stress at the time, you have a tendency to make a snap decision.
Right.
And I think if you can take even a day and step back and gather yourself, and do, as you said, some research and due diligence.
Right.
Yeah, good point. Thanks.
So, Steve, how do they reach Guardian Hospice?
Absolutely.
If they need to.
Thank you very much. We have an office, as I said, here in Georgia, in the Atlanta area. It's at 4360 Shamley Domini Road, Suite 535. That's in Atlanta, 30341. And we have our website is www.guardianhomecare.us. So a little bit different there, guardianhomecare.us. And then the phone number to the office is 770-458-1624. Again, that's 770-458-1624.
Steve, great information. Appreciate you being on the show.
I appreciate it as well. Thank you very much.
I'd like to invite you back if in the future, if there's another topic or something you just like for the listening audience to be aware of.
Absolutely.
Please let us know.
I will. Thank you very much. All right.
Once again, thanks for Steve for being our guest. Thanks to Lee for doing his magic on the board, and Mary Jo for supporting. Thank you very much.
You are welcome.
That's it for today. We want to remind the listening audience that they always can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show at ugeriaradio.com. And as I close, I want to say that if the youth of this nation is its greatest natural resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you, and God bless.
Ugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.